to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It is Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Getting down to the end of the week. A lot of crazy stuff going on. Before we get going, first of all, as always, our phone line here on the weekday is 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933. I got scolded in an email for giving the number way too fast, so I'm going to slow way down for the people on Quaaludes. 866-582-9933. Oathman's in the control room, ready to answer the phone calls. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Chat rooms are both open. The Ustream camera is running, and I hope you're watching because I got to show you something here. Yesterday, as I mentioned, my wife is currently on the U.S. mainland. She's attending a convention of choir directors with the intention of getting her music publicized. And getting some choirs to perform. And apparently she's having some success on that issue. But when we took her to the airport yesterday morning, we got a brand new, right out of the package, TSA-approved Safe Skies lock right here, just like this one. We got a two-pack. This is the other one that was in there. And it's got the little logo with the flaming torch of liberty, and it says right on the bottom, TSA Safe Size, and there's the little slot where the TSA guy has a key that will open the lock here. And the idea is that only the TSA can open your luggage and loot it, and your property is safe from everybody else except the TSA guys. All right, so my wife gets to her destination, and the luggage comes off the conveyor without the lock. The TSA, apparently too stoned or too stupid to see the logo and read where it's TSA approved, cut the lock off and discarded it. Okay? So all that money for these locks, and by the way, these are really shoddy and very cheaply made, too. It's a racket. It's another thing the government says you have to buy, you know, and these are not cheap. And I've actually had a couple of these things just fall apart in my hand. That's how flimsy they're made. But it's got the official logo. Remember I said about the United States, our problem is we become a nation of sticker-honors and put our... Yes, this is the logo. Somebody had to print that up and stick it on the lock. That's their job. It's, you know, and it doesn't add anything of value to the lock whatsoever. And as I said, it says right on the bottom, TSA Safe Skies. And the TSA clipped it off. So, here's the good part. I go over to the website of the company that makes these. And I go into contact them about saying, you know, the TSA is, they're clipping the locks. And there's a special button. Did your TSA-approved lock get clipped? Apparently, this is a major problem. We've gone to all this trouble. This company has made these TSA-approved locks that allow you to lock your luggage, and the TSA can still get in and go through your personal items and whatever. And yet the TSA just goes ahead and cuts them off as if they're ordinary locks. Complete waste of time, energy, effort, and money at a time when our economy cannot support it. Another reason why people don't want to come here and be tour. Oh, and one more thing. And this was a little bit of a surprise. We've gotten used to the idea that if your luggage was over a certain weight, they were going to hit you with an extra fee. Not anymore. There is no free checked luggage flying on the major airlines from Hawaii to the mainland. Every checked bag, there's a fee attached to it. Another reason why air travel has become hideously expensive. Why? Well, you know, we're having to charge for all these x-rays and neutron backscatter and chemical and dog and all the stuff that we're doing to your luggage to make sure that you're not smuggling Osama bin Laden in that suitcase. Don't you think the agricultural x-ray would have seen him? I mean, do you know how many times that luggage got x-rayed before it even got on the plane? It had to go through agriculture twice. Because we went into one terminal, then had to go to the next door terminal to get on her ticket, and we had to go back through agriculture a second time. Like we're going to open up the suitcase and smuggle an orange or something. And then it goes through the really big, heavy radiation machine, you know, before it gets put on the airline. And TSA cuts the lock off and throws it away. I mean, what an absurd amount of flapping. Remember I was talking about Gulliver's Travels and this entire nation of people who just flap and move things around and make it look like something useful is being done, and in reality, the place is entirely paralyzed. And that's where we've become. That's where we've gotten to. You know, and it's absurd. You buy the lock, TSA throws it away. It's a TSA-approved lock, and they throw it away. And it's apparently a major, major problem. TV networks won't tell you about it. but it's enough of a problem where there's a special place to deal with it on the company, on the website of the company that makes these things. Now, yeah, I know we got a caller on the line, but before we get to him, I do want to touch on this one other topic because this kind of ties in with it. Over at InfoWars, rented lips. Over at InfoWars, Alex Jones websites, they're launching a new scanner protest contest, and they're offering something like $15,000 in prizes. It's a lot of money these days. You know, wow. And they're basically going to have three different contests, the prize money spread across them, and it's all about attracting media attention to the fact that the naked body scanners represent a massive assault on human dignity. Okay? Now, my thought is I'm going to make up a T-shirt that says, "Attention TSA, see, I really am bigger than you are," with an arrow pointing down toward the lower parts of my body. Just things like that, you know, to kind of make it look a little bit ridiculous. But, yeah, anything that you can think of that is really going to force the media to confront the issue that you're being forced to basically fly naked. And Alex Jones is handing out prizes. So we've got the link to his contest from my website. So follow it on over and enter it and win the prize and come up with something really, really creative. We had a story yesterday. Apparently, a Muslim woman who, because of her religious beliefs, cannot allow herself to be seen naked by any man, not her husband, was denied permission to get on board an airplane. I mean, this has reached extraordinary heights of absurdity. You must let total strangers see you naked, or you're not allowed to travel in the United States of America. No science fiction writer in his right mind would have ever tried to sell something this ridiculous to their audience. You've heard the saying that truth is stranger than fiction? That's because fiction has to make sense when you read it. Otherwise, you get the palm of the hand hitting the forehead and say, "What a piece of junk this is," and you throw it away. This is utter nonsense. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Matthew in Oklahoma. Aloha, Matthew. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Aloha. Hello? Mr. Rivera. Thank you for taking
my
call.
You're welcome. What's on your mind?
I had a couple of questions for you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
My first question is, I've never been able to get an actual number on what really happens listenership is. Do you have a number for me?
No, we really don't, because we're not on Arbitron, and the show is carried all over the Internet. We know what our local server numbers are, and we know what the Ustream numbers are, but we're being downloaded and carried not only on a bunch of AM and FM stations that are kind of guessing at their numbers. Everybody lies in radio. And but we're also carried on a lot of these Part 15 radio stations, which are sort of unofficial. And, I don't want to say a number because I really don't know. I really don't know. I presume it's a fairly sizable audience from the phone calls and the emails that we get. And I know we're on a number of AM and FM stations, and I know we're on a lot of the Part 15 stations. But I really don't have a firm number. We're not on Arbitron. There's really no way to know.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
My second question is, I've listened to you for a while. Man, I really appreciate your point of view. I think a lot of people here share your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are going through a political evolution, you know. People who are Republicans or conservatives have looked towards libertarian ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And even farther than that, people are looking into libertarian anarchy or market anarchy. And I wanted to know what your specific thoughts and feelings were towards an anarchist society and explain why you feel... Have good feelings that they would work, or bad feelings it's not going to work towards that.
Okay, well, when I talk about anarchy, it's usually in the context of a joke of having studied Republicans and Democrats, anarchy's looking very attractive. But the reality is that we all understand some form of government is necessary. However, I'm one of those old-style Republicans, a paleocon, that believes that government governs best which governs least. And I think for the most part, government is there to take care of the roads and the schools and the common defense and really kind of stay out of everybody else's life after that. Unfortunately, as government becomes a full-time profession, it justifies its continued existence by governing more and more and more in order to provide jobs for all the nieces and nephews of the ruling class. And that's why we get to a situation today where we've got naked scanners and global warming, carbon tax, and all the rest of it. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Call Mike now at 866-582-9933. 866-582-9933.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. I want to finish up my comments about Matthew's phone call about what kind of a government form do I think would really work. And that's a very important question because it is obvious at this point the current government and the current economy are not going to survive much longer. They can't. They've dug themselves in way too deep. They're not doing any of the things that I would say are consistent with the long-term correction of the economy. Everybody's grabbing stuff, putting it in their pockets, and heading for the door. So we need to seriously start thinking what kind of an ideal government we want to have when we reform the nation or nations, in case it breaks apart. Everybody should be thinking, what kind of a government do they really want? Now, I'm very much in favor of the original constitutional republic and the first 13 amendments to the Constitution. And then after that, I would add a balanced federal budget amendment and a couple of other locks and chains on the government to keep its size to a limit. Let's make it performance-based. Okay, let's say that, the salaries of Congress and the amount of money they've got to spend on whatever is permanently tied at a certain fixed percentage to the gross domestic product of the American citizens. So that when we get into these horrible economic times, the president can't go off and say, well, we need to have the world's largest defense budget now, and we need to spend more money on nuclear bombs and things like that. We need to set up a system where it is in the government's own interest to make sure the American people are prosperous. We need a constitutional amendment to say no private central bank ever under any circumstances. We would need an amendment that says that any given administration cannot borrow any more money than it is able to repay before the end of its term. And if it fails to make that payment at the end of its term, then it comes out of their own pocket. There's a bunch of other things that we can think of, and we all need to be thinking about this, because I'll make you a promise right now. It's not a promise, it's a warning. When the federal government collapses, there will be no end of carpetbaggers running in and saying, look, we've got a brand new government all ready to go, and it's really swell. Just sign your name here, and we'll plug it in and be ready to go the next day. And I guarantee you that the government being sold you by the carpetbaggers will not be one that is designed to benefit your life. We already know the United Nations is looking for the collapse of all the major world powers in order to bring about their global government vision. But look at all the global governments that have been attempted in the past. None of them were done for the benefit of the individual people. They were all done for the glory and ego of the rulers of the world. Every time I hear of global government, I keep reminding myself that's what Hitler wanted. That's what Alexander the Great wanted. It's what Napoleon wanted. It's what the Roman Caesars wanted. It's what pharaohs wanted. Until Ramses ran into the Hittites, then he kind of cooled that whole situation. Speaking of Hitler, and before I get into the rest of the story about the economy, I'm watching the corporate media feed here. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is a very good organization, and you should support them or pay attention to what they're doing. They're working to preserve the freedom of speech on the Internet, various other situations. They exposed the fact that the U.S. military has been spying on American citizens. Direct violation of posse comitatus. The story has finally forced its way into the mainstream media. We've known this. We've known this for quite some time. Okay, but it's finally breaking into the corporate media, and the Pentagon is saying, we're sorry, it was an oversight violation. And the reason I'm mentioning this is while they were reporting on the story, this particular network I'm looking at was running video of some staged white supremacist march where they're all waving Nazi flags. I mean, the implication here is, well, yeah, we're kind of breaking the law to spy on American citizens, but look at those Nazi flags. We need to do it. They're dangerous people, and we're just fighting. Okay, folks, I'm going to tell you right now. Just like the Al-Qaeda terrorists, all these present-day, modern-day Nazis, they're phonies. They're fakes. They're agents provocateurs by various intelligence agencies. Or anybody who's out there raising money, fundraising, give us money, we're fighting the modern-day Nazis. Well, you'd better have a few modern-day Nazis show up with a flag to wave around, or nobody's going to be making any donations to your cause. Makes sense, right? If I'm going to collect money to protect you all from green elephants running down Main Street, somehow or other, I've got to arrange for a green elephant to run down Main Street to remind you of how much you're going to send money to me. That's how these things work. You create the crisis, then you charge people money to save it from it. It's like Al Gore and global warming. Okay, so here's the deal. The reason I know that all these modern-day Nazis are fakes and phonies is very simple. Think about when you were a kid, and you liked to play cowboys and Indians, or cops and robbers, or all the rest of that stuff. Didn't you want to be the cop? Didn't you want to be the cowboy? You wanted to be the good guys. The little kids would get beaten into being the Indians or the robbers or the bad guys, okay? Well, get a clue. The Nazis lost. The Nazis lost the war. They destroyed their own country in the process, and no sane human being wants to dress up and play act at being the losers. That's like somebody saying, ooh, I want to play the Indians and I want to play the robbers. That's not human nature. It is human nature to want to emulate and identify with the good guys and the winners. So all these people walking around pretending to be Nazis, they're fakes. They are doing a job to sell a political agenda through fear. I can't even begin to tell you how many of the heads of the so-called American Nazi Party turned out to be working for the ADL. There was one scandal where one of the very early first guys was embezzling from the ADL, and it just blew up into this huge court case that exposed the fact that it was a fraud, just like this current guy, Adam Gadahn, the American Al-Qaeda. His grandfather was on the board of directors of the ADL. It's all a fraud and a fake. And so they're using it here on the TV to say, well, yeah, it's not legal for us to spy on all you Americans, but really it's for your own good, because there are Nazis out there. There are Nazis, and they're coming for you unless you let us peek in your window and read your emails and so forth and so on. And it's nonsense. It's just complete nonsense. All right, I want to get into the economy now, because the news continues to be very, very bad, and the amount of government bovine excrement is reaching the flood stage, and we need to really be paying attention to what's going on here, because there's a very serious conclusion at the end of all of this. Okay, once again, we're hearing from the various states. Now, Kansas is saying their state revenues are not living up to the expectations. Pennsylvania state revenue collections came up short of estimate again. This is what happens when you estimate your revenues based on the official U.S. government labor statistics. Because the U.S. government is lying to conceal the scale of the problem from the American people. All righty, and unfortunately, we got a break for a commercial, but as soon as we come back from the commercial, we've got a caller waiting on the line, and we'll go right to that phone call. So, yeah. Yeah, there's the music. Okay, my clock is not exactly accurate right now. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with a phone call after these words from our sponsors.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go right to the phones to Alex in Texas. Aloha, welcome back to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike, it's Alex Jones. I was driving through Austin listening to you and on my way home, and you hit on one of the subjects that is so important, and it's a form of false flag terror. We know from Ottawa 2 years ago and from a year and a half ago at the DNC, mainstream news was forced to admit, alternative media broke it first, that police were dressed up, and it's happened in Greece and everywhere else. They've been caught last year as well, dressing up like protesters, bashing out shop windows, burning cars, and they always do it for a day in front of the media. The media says, man, the police aren't doing anything. Then they turn them loose on the peaceful crowds. And, you know, that was happening at the G20 as well. We have the armies right there spying on everyone. I had three of my cameramen. The army tried to set them up as terrorists. This was actually in the news at the G20. Called their hotel room and put out an APB that they were terrorists and tried to attack the military base, all because they called and wanted to interview the base commander about the 5,000 troops they were going to have out there. I mean, to the military, we're now the enemy. And so, and that's not your rank and file, but, you know, the people in black ops and in security. So just make something up about your enemy. I mean, this is what they do. And I thought about 2 years ago, it came out in the Miami Herald and the Orlando Sentinel that the founder and the guy leading those Nazi rallies through black neighborhoods to stir up all the, you know, big freak out that was happening when Florida was trying to pass a hate law. Same thing came out in Utah. There's been so many documented cases in Britain, in Germany, mainstream news, that the founders of the modern Nazi parties, the people that have been caught firebombing and killing Kurds in Germany, that's been done so they can outlaw regular groups saying we don't want open borders, so they can then demonize them. And it's happened over and over again, as you know. But I just hope your audience understands that I said more than 6-7 years ago, I know you talked about it, Hal Turner was clearly a Fed. No one else could call for killing judges by name and the rest of it, always attacking myself and others, saying Jones doesn't, you know, hate Jews enough, trying to radicalize everything. And then he finally threatens the state judges, and he's been arrested. And it came out in court transcripts in the Chicago Tribune and in the Boston Globe in the last 2 months. Kurt Nemo at Infowars.com has written about it. I know Kurt's, of course, Mike Rapero has written about it. And it turned out the feds admitted, yes, he was the highest-level FBI informant at agent level under national security. And I've been to these Klan rallies, Nazi rallies, to protest them. They're giving hand signals to the cops. They are feds. Sometimes they find useful idiots that are following them to set them up. So they're not infiltrating groups. They run the groups, and it's the same nomenclature. And of course, we learned a year and a half ago, and later it was in the major East Coast papers for some reason, but we got leaked the document. Other people did. That myself, Ron Paul, begin the Fed rally, have Army intel watching us, and the Army documents we got that were later in the, what's the big paper in Maryland?
I know the one you're thinking of, but I can't remember the name of it. But
exactly, but I mean, they had the headline that Army watching Tea Parties and
yes,
the Fedders, and of course they had sound cannons out in San Diego. So all of that is going on. All of that is happening, and it's said in the document. Don't let them know you're Army. They may kill you. So here's peaceful mainline people protesting the banks robbing us, and they're telling the Army personnel, don't let them know you're Army personnel. They may kill you. I mean, this is the ultimate form of demonization, and it came out even in Michael Moore's film that police
yes,
and the military and others are watching mainline peace groups. Folks, this government isn't a government. It is a criminal, rogue enterprise, and they have to make themselves look like the victim, and they're staging almost everything. And that way, as they squeeze us and people do fight back offensively, then they can label it all terrorism. And Mike, you're just kicking butt, and I always enjoy listening to the show, so I just wanted to call in and just back up everything you're saying. If folks would just research it, it is so incredible what is going on. Well, I mean, it's like Elohim City. It came out in the FBI documents with Nick Fay that the Southern Poverty Law Center was running Elohim City. And then McVeigh and Nichols.
The guy who founded it, the guy who founded and run it, was an FBI informant.
Exactly. And then when a separate ATF informant, Carol Howell, found out, they tried to put her in prison. She was trying to become an agent. They said, okay, do this. But she went and warned them. They arrested her in the week before the attack to shut it down. And then, of course, now Terry Nichols and others on record have done sworn federal affidavits that McVeigh was a deep cover Pentagon spy and that they set him up. So remember that, just like Lee Harvey Oswald, it's now been declassified, was CIA. All you guys out there and gals that work for this system, they will burn you and set you up. These people are have no honor even in their own system. This it's incredible, Mike.
It is, and it's been going on all along, and, it goes back to COINTELPRO. I remember I was actually there the day that the FBI set up the riot at Disneyland in Southern California to discredit the anti-war movement, the anti-Vietnam War movement, and it came out in the 1970s during the COINTELPRO hearings that this had all been ordered by the Nixon White House. We know about it was the FBI that set out the Black Panther coloring book to try and sabotage relations, in this the beginning civil rights movement. The other side, the government loves to play dirty. They love to put informants on college campuses. They put informants in TV shows and studios to keep an eye on people.
Oh, listen, we've got them right here. We've got them right here in Austin doing everything they can to demonize me. I couldn't believe it years ago, but they had these people actually move into town. And the way COINTELPRO works, even when you expose them, that gives them what they want because then it makes no one trust each other. I mean, but the good news is there's so many activists, so many groups, so many people getting involved. If they had a $1 trillion budget for this, they couldn't go after us all. So everybody get active. Anybody who wants you to do anything illegal, anybody that tries to get you to do something bad, you know they're a Fed, expose them, and just God bless everyone out there that is finally, I mean, it was classified 3 years ago that in San Francisco in the 60s, the FBI lit a stick of dynamite, threw it in the marsh, blamed it on a local peace activist, and put over 70 peaceful people in jail. Folks, we have been, it's just, once the system loses all credibility, though, this stuff won't work. And that's why Cass Sunstein at the White House, the talking points from the fake left and right, are demonized 9/11 truth. Because we have explained to people about government-sponsored terror at the highest level, with your help, Mike, and many others, and so their favorite toy is damaged. They're trying to rehabilitate it, but in a way that backfires on them because when they try to say, oh, the government's not staging stuff, the mainstream media is so discredited that only backfires on them more. So we've made major headway. Mike, take care.
Thank you very much, Alex, for the call. Always a joy to have you on the show. When I call you Alex from Texas, it is a humor. I know it's you, and everybody who's listening to the show knows it's you. And I always get lots of emails saying, oh, great, Alex is calling into your show and everything. But you're absolutely right. And the difference is, back in the 1960s, when COINTELPRO was playing these kinds of dirty tricks, the general public was so trusting of the government. When you said, you know, it was the FBI that set us up to get arrested, and people say, oh, come on, the FBI doesn't do that. I watch the FBI TV show on television every week, and I've seen Jimmy Stewart in the FBI story, and they're really great people, and they would never do the kind of things that you claim that they're doing. Then, of course, the COINTELPRO scandal happened, and we found out that, yes, indeed, the FBI does fake evidence, frame people. Remember when Frederick Whitehurst blew the whistle on the FBI lab, that the FBI lab was routinely faking lab results to favor the prosecutions, and they were framing people left and right? And the difference is that now, today, the 21st century, the American people do know and understand this is exactly what the FBI does. When the FBI is out there saying that Bruce Ivins or Stephen Hatfield or Dr. Ayad Assad are the anthrax killers, the American people understand that the FBI is trying to frame these guys because they're trying to keep the heat off of Dr. Philip Zack, the one guy actually caught going into the lab where the anthrax was kept. We've got to take a break here. We're going to come back. We've got another caller waiting on the line. Stay tuned.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Rock Creek gently flows through the parkland of Washington, D.C., until it meets the mighty Potomac River in the heart of the federal city.
On the other hand, Rock Creek Free Press is a fiercely independent newspaper that's not afraid to print the truth. We print the stories that others won't touch. The 9/11 cover-up, media propaganda, government corruption, state terrorism, and violations of our constitutional rights. The Creek is a completely reader-supported publication. We accept no corporate advertising, no corporate influence. For a free, no-obligation issue of The Creek, just go to rockcreekfreepress.com. If you want copies for your local 9/11 truth group, send your request to editor@rockcreekfreepress.com. Rock Creek Free Press, not afraid to print the truth.
Call them at 301-452-0090 today.
For men who want intimacy and pleasure back in their life, it's not a question of if, but when. So, Ben, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Rizin. Mojo Rizin is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Rizin is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Rizin works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Rizin will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Rizin will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Rizin, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Rizin at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 1-877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Rizin all night long.
Hi, Alex has been encouraging you to get food. Well, here's an unbelievable chance for you to jumpstart your food savings plan from eFoodsDirect.com. Anyone placing food orders on the large volume production run scheduled for the week of March 22nd can get a lot of food for very little cost. For example, with each pre-production order of 3 7-day responders, they'll ship a 4th week of food free. That's buy 3, get 1 free. They'll take orders from now until March 22nd. The following week, they'll produce huge runs of the pre-ordered food, passing the savings to you in this buy 3, get 1 free program. Folks, this is the best chance to stock up you'll ever see. Another example, buy 9 months worth of food and get 3 months free. You've got to go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for the food buy of a lifetime. Or call 800-409-5633. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. The panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go back to the phones. We've got Jeremy in California. Aloha, Jeremy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. If GCN's listening, the management there, I'm really thankful that you're on. Listen to you almost daily and just love this show.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The check is in the mail.
Now I'm about to... make things a little bit uncomfortable.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about the protest that's going on nationwide, but before I do, I want to comment about what was just said about COINTELPRO.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, I got to respond to what Alex Jones just said. Alex, if you're listening, we saw 20 minutes with the president. We saw your behavior at the Austin gun rally. We saw what you did with the Medina campaign over a week ago. It's absolutely ridiculous, man. And he's been the author of chaos. There's a lot of people in the truth movement that are wondering what's going on. We're so sick of I told you so. We're so sick of I said everything. We're sick of the interruptions. Everything. I mean, you know, he'll call back and say that I'm COINTELPRO.
Well,
I'm not.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I think I want to put a halt on this because let's get on to your next point, okay?
Fair enough. Thank you.
All right.
What I wanted to say is I live here in the city.
The check back, by the way.
Yeah, right now. You're probably going to charge me.
Yeah, it's a stop payment. Just went on it.
No doubt. Okay. Today we're having these huge protests nationwide, in particular.
And well, you should.
Yeah, I agree. The only problem is the focal point. That, you know, no one that where they're protesting because they want more money. The problem is, and that's what this is about, of funding and give us more and all these students. And I really think that this protest is a huge diversion. And I'm so bummed out because I picked up my kids from school today, and I was watching the teachers literally rush out of there and hit their cars because they're going downtown. And when are these unions and everybody else going to tell everybody, guess what, we're out of money?
Well, see, here's the deal. The reason I I'm sorry that they became violent up at Berkeley, but I understand the anger that's going on here. And I know the media is trying to say, oh, they just want more money. Actually, what they want is their own money back. Because, you see, in most of the civilized nations, everybody pays about the same amount of tax. Some pay a little more, some pay a little less. But it generally works out to be about half of everything that you earn winds up going to government at all levels of society when you add it all up, all the little tariffs and fees. And, you know, they break it into pieces so that you can't point to a single number and say taxes are too high. But really, if you add it all up, especially with what your employers have to pay for the privilege of hiring you, the government makes about as much money off of your work as you do. Now, in most other countries, the government will then turn around and spend that money back on you, the taxpayer. You will be paying about 50% of everything that you make to the government, but in exchange, you will get good health care, you will get higher education, you get good, decent roads, you get all the stuff that's taken care of. In the United States, it's a bit of a scam. The government is going to take half of everything that you earn, then you're expected to turn around and pay for your own higher education and go deeply into debt in the process, pay for your own health care, go deeply into debt in the process. The government's going out and telling you that you must buy certain things, you know, with what's left of your money, like your own health insurance is what Obamacare is going to do, or these TSA-approved locks that are just pieces of junk. And that's the reason these students are upset, because they understand that we, the American taxpayers, pay taxes for education and health care, and while we're getting our bombs
Mike, this is where I kind of have a problem with what you just said, because I don't think they do understand. I don't think they understand that we're at critical mass, that there literally is no more money, it's all phony, and that they have to put their sights on power and say we need revolutionary change, not just keep the funding coming, but we need to, just like you said, we need to think about what government we want after this one.
Well, I'm sure that they probably are right now, but, you know, you have to have a starting point for that anger to start bubbling to the surface. In Romania, it was, believe it or not, a sporting event is what kicked off their revolution. And so, I'm not saying that this is the start of an American revolution, but people are angry, and that anger starts to manifest, you know, sometimes over displaced issues. And I think the issue about the tuition increases and everything, it may be a case of displacement, that these kids are angry about very legitimate reasons of what's gone wrong with this country, but they've got this one thing they can focus on and say, this is what I'm angry about, rather than back up and say, I'm ready to start sending our entire government to the guillotine.
Right,
which
I
is
agree.
Going to get very bad media coverage.
Yeah, I no doubt.
Okay?
I think there's a good chance that we may see some violence tonight, because I've been seeing some of the images out of Berkeley, and
we've already seen violence out of Berkeley. We may see violence. And again, you know, part of the problem is the government may welcome massive riots coast to coast, because that justifies the declaration of martial law. So again, we need to be careful that in those student groups there are not undercover FBI informants with instructions to set fires and cause damage in order for the media to demonize the students. I mean, I went through this already back in the 1960s with this riot at Disneyland that was set up and staged and engineered by the FBI informants in order to give the media an easy means to say, oh, those peaceniks, look how peaceful they are now. They beat up Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
And so,
Look at the image, and look at the image that's posted on Drudge right now. That's your snapshot.
All right, I'll take a look at that very soon, but it's a very, very complex issue. But the students have a right to be angry, because we, their parents and older generation, have been paying taxes into a system that we are being told is going to be providing for our welfare, and it never does. And they're frustrated, and I understand their frustration. We all want a better education, and education in this country has just gone right into the Al-Qaeda, and yet the taxes are still going higher and higher so that we can send white phosphorus to Israel to drop all over the Gazan kids. Thank you very much for the phone call, Jeremy. We're going to switch over to Chris in California. Aloha, Chris. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, you got that cop ring you borrowed from me last?
Okay, well, that's Chris in California. That must be one of Cass Sunstein's people right there. All right. All right, we're almost to the top of the hour, and I want to get back on topic talking about the economy here, and because it really it's the core of everything that's gone wrong with this country. We are being soaked for all the money that we have. We're out of money. We're out of money. The politicians are saying, we got to raise taxes and stuff. Remember, these politicians are all rich. They're incredibly wealthy. They don't understand what it's like to be out here, a dollar short, trying to find, you know, what you're going to eat next week or something like that. Anyway, Kansas state revenues aren't meeting the projections. Pennsylvania state revenue collections are coming up short again. New Hampshire politicians, they're having to slash the budget because of their revenue shortfall. All of these people are in trouble because they have been relying on the official U.S. government labor statistics to forecast what their own revenue generation is going to be. And because the federal government is lying to conceal the scale of the unemployment problem, all the states are overestimating their revenues, and they're getting into these situations here. Okay, we're going to go right back to the phones. Alex Jones is calling back in. Aloha, Alex. Welcome back to the show. I can imagine what you want to talk about.
Oh, no, I'm not going to respond to that. That's just somebody that's a hater and jealous, and I don't know why. But briefly on the Deborah Medina thing, I put everything behind her, and she said 9/11 truth was good and healthy. Then she said we were despicable, and I have a right as a voter to say that that was upsetting, but I still said vote for it. So that doesn't make, you know, you COINTELPRO. On the other issue of what is COINTELPRO in Austin, I identified it 2 years ago. Oh, you don't want to hear me say I did, but I did identify it. The point is we were right again. There was a guy going around trying to get people to firebomb Brave New Books. Then he was hooked in with a Palestinian professor who tied his own, slit his own throat and body. The imam called me, and the Boston police called it a suicide. And he now went on NPR and bragged about how he set the kids up in Minnesota trying to get them to firebomb the RNC. That's what I'm talking about. That's the type of serious, hardcore stuff. I'm talking about the ATF trying to send people into my office to try to blame us for the governor's mansion fire. That's the real world that I swim in. And I'd add this. That caller likes Mike Rivero on the air, never talked about this. I called Mike up and said, you need to go on 5 days a week. And I called Ted and twisted his arm to get Mike Rivero on 5 days a week. That's the kind of stuff I do behind the scene. And that's the type of people that I help. And Mike can attest to that. So again,
absolutely.
I'm a good person, but because I'm the top dog, people like that are haters. I'm taking action against the New World Order, and I'm doing all sorts of stuff behind the scenes, and I try to brag about the success we've had so others will mimic it.
All right, Alex, thanks an awful lot for calling back in. We're out of time on this first hour. We got a break for news and commercials. We'll be back in about 7 minutes. Stay tuned, and aloha.
The Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to hour number two of our show today. And I want to get back on the, first of all, I want to finish up with the protests. And then I really want to get back on the economy because I want to stay focused on that. First of all, regarding these protests across the country, the media is trying to say, oh, they just want more freebies. And, you know, the Republicans especially are saying, ah, they just want handouts. They want people to give them everything. Well, what we all as an American people want is for the government to give back to us at least a reasonable proportion of what they've taken away from us. The reason that we submit to taxation is to take care of this country, not take care of foreign countries, and certainly not this war footing that we're on right now. Our government is spending far more on war relative to domestic needs, a greater ratio than even during World War II. We're invading countries left and right. We need to recognize that's what the government's mindset is. We're in a new war footing. And these people who are protesting, these students on the college campuses, are basically saying, we want books, not bombs. And if you're one of these protesters on the college campus, go ahead and take that expression. Put it on your T-shirt. Put it on a flag. Books, not bombs. Because the reality is that if we shortchange the education of our children, and we already are, 4-day school weeks here in Hawaii, 3-year high school in Utah. We're sabotaging our own future. We're sacrificing our future for the sake of a few moments of military glory today. And we're probably ultimately not going to win this military campaign that we're in either. So books, not bombs. Now, getting back to the economy here, the Senate has just rejected a bill that would have given 57 million elderly people, veterans, and people with disabilities a $250 check. Just the one check, $250. And it was intended to make up for the fact that there is no cost of living increase in their social services this year because of the economy. The government's already reneging on the promises to them, shortchanging them. This bill was introduced to say, well, let's at least give them another check for $250, which is a token amount at best. You know what prices are like at the market, $250? That's not a significant amount of money these days. It really, really isn't. And the Senate rejected it. Apparently, the Senate's idea is, you know, we can't make money off of those elderly, disabled people, so we're not going to spend any more time on them. I mean, that's how ridiculous this has gotten. Government is supposed to be taking care of we the people. They're willing to take care of us when they can get a profit out of it. They'll clothe us and feed us and house us and they'll train us and put rifles in our hands when we can go out and steal money for them. But when you're not useful to the government anymore, boy, that love just ends right there. It just does. Now, our real unemployment in this country is estimated by several experts, payroll companies, to be 25%. That's depression level. We are at depression levels of unemployment. And possibly as a sign of it, we are seeing more and more tent cities spring up across the country. There's a huge one in New York. We've got a link to that on whatreallyhappened.com today. And the part that is really getting kind of scary is that there are large segments of the United States of America that are starting to look a lot like Gaza. People living in shanties, tents, making do with inadequate water and sanitation. Some charity group tried to set up a shower building for this, or a shower tent, really, for this tent city in New York. Said the pipes froze, and so that's not going to work for a while. Up in Detroit, some of the houses there are selling for a dollar. That's how desperate the banks are to just get them off their books, sell it for a dollar. Of course, the city will assess them for some incredibly high value in order to hit you with a huge property tax bill. And the houses themselves have been neglected and abandoned and looted. So it's not really that much of a bargain. But when you look at how hard some American family had to work to pay the mortgage on that house, and now it's being remaindered out for a dollar. And it basically tells you the system is so rigged against you. It's designed to make you work for an entire lifetime to pay taxes on a piece of property. And then by the time you're at the end of your life, it's gone. You've got nothing to leave to your children. It's an illusion. Private home ownership in this country has become an illusion. Between eminent domain, the foreclosure problem, the government's right to come in and kick your door down and look in your house whenever they feel like it, you don't really have the rights of a private property owner any longer. Because the owner of a piece of property has a right to tell the government, stay off my land. That's why the Founding Fathers gave you the Second Amendment, by the way. Speaking of the Second Amendment, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms data released by the FBI's National Instant Criminal Background Check. Remember, when you buy a gun now, you have to go through this instant criminal background check. According to the tally kept for this last year, in 2009, U.S. gun owners bought more than 14 million firearms. That's more weapons than 21 of the world's standing armies bought, all combined together. I think that tells you that anybody who says the American people aren't waking up, that the American people don't understand what's going on with this country, you give them that number. 2009 was a very difficult economic year. People don't have money for luxuries, but they went out and they bought 14 million guns. They know what's coming. They're preparing here. Now, speaking of unemployment levels being at depression levels, the Obama administration is closing the office that compares American unemployment with that of other countries, the International Labor Comparisons Office. The numbers have been bad and getting worse. That the American labor market is in terrible shape compared to other countries. And the Obama administration and the media love to say, well, it's tough all over. No, it isn't. It's worse here. And because Obama doesn't want anybody to be able to say you're wrong when you say it's just as bad everywhere else, they're closing down the office that puts out those numbers. Remember when they stopped reporting the M3 aggregate a couple of years back and we said, oh boy, we're going to go into a period of hyperinflation because they're shutting down the public measure of inflation. That public indicator went away here. Meanwhile, apparently, according to the Internal Revenue Service, 678 congressional staffers working on Capitol Hill have not paid their taxes. Maybe they know something that we don't. Same thing that Judge James C. Fox knew in Sullivan versus United States. But it seems to be an issue where people working in the government just don't seem to think that it applies to them any longer. Same thing with Geithner. There is a new term of craft that is making the rounds, and I want you all to memorize this. Write it down. There will be a quiz next period. It's called State Crimes Against Democracy. We now have a name, a generic label, for all the acts, the criminal acts by the U.S. government that are intended to undermine and subvert the democratic process in the United States of America. All the false flag attacks, 9/11, the planting of undercover operatives in the protests to cause disruptions that the media can use to demonize the protesters. MSNBC out there today was trying to portray everybody in the Patriot Movement as some kind of a wild-eyed kook. There's another commercial making the rounds that portrays anybody who is refusing a When Pigs Fly flu vaccine shot as a raving nutcase. This is not education, and it's not news, and it's not information. It's propagandization to get you to do what the government wants you to do, whether you really want to or not. That is a crime against democracy. The massive election fraud that we have in this country, the electronic machines, that is a state crime against democracy. Lying us into wars in Afghanistan and Iraq is a state crime against democracy. They talk about crimes against humanity or war crimes. We need to have a court that punishes state crimes against democracy. Maybe that's what a revolution is. That's what they did in France when they brought democracy in there. All right, interesting little story before we end this segment. An ex-advisor to former Governor Jerry Brown has been found dead in a creek. They're claiming it's suicide. How do you commit suicide by drowning yourself in a creek? Okay? Now, just yesterday, Jerry announced that he's going to run for the governorship of California. He's going to go up against Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's got some, according to a recent book, he's got links to organized crime. Is Jerry Brown cleaning house in California the way Bill Clinton did down in Arkansas all the way back then? We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're going to go to the phones. We've got Jimmy in Arizona. Aloha, Jimmy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
How's it going, Mike? Love the show. Love the website.
Thank you.
I was going to say, I was wondering if you got a chance to did you congratulate Alex Jones on the Deborah Medina campaign? It seems that he and Glenn Beck were both successful in derailing the campaign and, you know, making sure that she didn't get enough votes to cause a runoff.
Well, I don't know what Alex, you know, I think Alex was supporting her and Glenn Beck, but I think the reason that she lost, and obviously the corporate media disagrees with me on this, but I think it's when that she did that 180-degree about-face where originally she said there's some merit in the idea of a new 9/11 investigation, and then obviously she got a phone call. She turns around the next day and she calls the 9/11 truthers disgusting. And at that point is the point where I stopped supporting her.
She seems to be the best candidate for liberty.
Well, no, she isn't, because what this about-face proved is that she's just like Obama. She's going to say whatever she thinks people want to hear, and then but she'll change her mind the first time something comes along. If she's not going to have the courage of her convictions, then she's not going to keep her promises. She sounded good as a Tea Party candidate. She sounded like she wanted all the right things, but if she could be persuaded to do an about-face on 9/11 that quickly, then anything she says simply could not be trusted. And at that point, I could not support her any longer.
Why does Ron Paul get a pass on when he's distanced himself from 9/11?
He's not called them disgusting. He's trying to stay neutral on the issue, but he hasn't come out and said, I support a new investigation, and then turn around and say, you know, they're disgusting people. Thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. The bottom line is that I expect candidates to have the courage of their conviction, because you cannot rely on anything that they say if they're going to flip-flop like that. And my opposition to Deborah Bandina isn't that she called the 9/11 truthers disgusting. It's that she did it almost immediately after saying, I think there's some merit to an investigation there. And that means nothing she says is carved in stone. And that means that none of her promises mean anything at all. Folks, we get the same problem every time. Politicians will come in, they'll say whatever they think will get your vote. And there's no law that says they have to be truthful. There's no law that punishes them if they're lying in their campaign speeches. The courts have ruled it's a First Amendment exercise of freedom of speech to get up there and promise two cars in every garage and a chicken in every pot and whatever else they're going to say to get you to vote for them. But when Deborah Medina did that 180-degree about-face, that was the end of it. Now, I know a lot of people wish Ron Paul would weigh in on the 9/11 issue, but Ron Paul is a career politician, and he understands that this is a very divisive issue right now. And so he's avoiding it, which is not quite the same thing as saying, you know, yes, I support an investigation, and then 24 hours later saying, oh, those people are disgusting. Now, the corporate media is trying to blame Medina's loss on the fact that she supported an investigation. But her poll numbers didn't start really dropping until after she came out with that disgusting comment. So I think that's what cost her the election. And there's a message there. If you're going to wade in on 9/11, don't start attacking the truth movement, because the truth movement has become the majority in the American voters. Two-thirds of America are angry with the government. Why do you think they're angry? It's not just the taxes and the wars. It's being lied to. And they understand that one of the things that we've been lied to about is 9/11. We all saw George Bush sit in that classroom reading about goats while planes were falling out of the sky onto buildings. And the Secret Service knew they could let him sit there. They knew that he was not a target. How could they know that? Bush's presence at the school had been in the newspapers 3 days ahead of time. There are supposedly an unknown number of airplanes falling out of the sky, hitting buildings. And how many planes there are was obfuscated by that NATO exercise simulating multiple hijackings. Nobody knew which were fakes and which were real. And there was an airport only 4 miles away from the school. So how did the Secret Service know they could let Bush sit there? Obviously, they knew what the targets were going to be that day. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Malcolm in Texas. Aloha, Malcolm. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I want to disagree with that last caller regarding Deborah Medina. I sort of briefly supported Deborah Medina. How would I put this aside? There was a book called Profiles in Courage by John F. Kennedy about people who stood up to the system. And I mean, and like, look at Ron Paul. He was in a plane that had decompression that nosedived. He didn't change his mind about the Federal Reserve after that happened.
And good point.
But, I mean, Deborah Medina could have shown some courage. If she, there were rumors that she may have been threatened or she got the phone call that we all
You are exactly 100% correct, because I may not agree with everything that Ron Paul says. But Ron Paul, you know that when he's talking to you, you're getting the straight dope of what he really, truly thinks and feels. When Deborah Medina did that flip-flop, she became a sellout in my book, and nothing she said could be relied on. Look how badly we were lied to about Obama. And he's great. He gets up there in his wonderful suit, and he can speak, and he's got the gift. He's got the Blarney. I'm sure there's Irish in his family somewhere coming up on St. Patrick's Day. He's got the gift that he could talk to you, and you will believe him, because he's probably another one of these sociopaths that are attracted to government. And when he lies, he doesn't give away any of the subtle subconscious clues that we are all trained to understand people who are lying to us, you know, will give. There's always a tell for a normal, psychologically sane person. When they lie, there's a tell. Sociopaths don't have the tell. That's why they're such good liars and such good politicians. But we, you know, the voters believed Obama when he said he was going to end the wars and end the torture and prosecute the people who lied us into the wars and fix the economy and all the rest of that stuff. And he didn't do any of it. He was lying to us, and so was Deborah. That's what her flip-flop proved.
Yeah, I agree with it, but that's all I wanted to say was, I mean, we need more candidates who will, like Ron Paul, just say, I don't care, I'm still standing for what I believe in.
That's exactly right.
And they were like, I don't know if you ever read that book, Profiles in Courage. It's a
many
great,
years
great
ago,
book.
Yes. It is a good book. It is a very good book. And, you know, I think one of the reasons that the American people really liked John F. Kennedy, despite his foibles in Picadillos and so forth, was that he did have some very strong principles. In a way, he was kind of compensating for his father's criminal career by saying, I'm going to go out and do the job of being president of the United States the way I think it should be done. That included challenging the Federal Reserve.
The mafia.
Yeah, the mafia, basically saying, you know, let's call off the moon race and cooperate with the Russians. Let's end the war in Vietnam. All the things that the American people wanted to have done. Unfortunately, you know, Kennedy pissed off a lot of people. He pissed off Israel by saying they can't have nukes. He pissed off the mafia by sicking his brother on him. Pissed off the CIA by pulling the plug on the Bay of Pigs and refusing to go along with a second invasion. Just, you know, in this country, unfortunately, if you anger enough people, even if you're the president, if you anger enough people, you're going to wind up dead. And I'm sure somewhere has set Barack Obama down and said, if you try and do anything to stop this looting of the public by the Federal Reserve, you're going to wind up the same way as John F. Kennedy. Thank you very much for the phone call, Malcolm. We're going to let you go. We got to take a break for some commercials, and we will be right back. America, welcome back to the show here. I'm going to change subjects right now. We've had another earthquake down in Chile, a 6.4, which compared to the 8, you know, for a week ago, isn't that big a deal, except that this is on the northern part of Chile. It's quite a distance away from the big quake and all of its aftershocks, which are considerable. And so that's got a lot of people rattled. And it was rather interesting because we've had another 6+ in Vanuatu, and we had the Taiwan quake yesterday. And we were talking on this show about how all the tectonic plates connect with each other and the possibility of, you know, following the Boxing Day quake, that the entire Pacific plate has kind of been readjusting itself. And now that sort of creep of readjustment has reached its eastern edge, which is the west coast of the Americas, that we might see some increased seismic activity along that part of the world. And apparently somebody at CNN was either listening to that commentary or reading it from my website, because they're doing a story right now about, are all these earthquakes connected? And they're basically doing a poo-poo about that whole idea. Well, I don't think they should be quick to do it. I know they're trying to keep people calm. We don't want to panic or anything. And of course, if you're afraid of an earthquake coming to get you, then it's a really hard sell to make you afraid of Iran's non-existent nuclear weapons, or human-caused global warming. I'm not going to worry about a temperature increase of 4 degrees in 100 years if I might have a magnitude 8 wallop on my front doorstep, you know, sometime in the next week. And so it's all about managing fear. Please don't be afraid of this stuff. You will be afraid of these over here, because these we can make money on. But the reality is, common sense tells you that if there's a big earthquake and seismographs all over the world are picking it up, then yeah, all of the faults are connected to every earthquake just by virtue of those compression waves. There is at least one documented case of an earthquake up in Alaska triggered by the seismic waves of the Big Boxing Day quake, where just as the seismic energy reached Alaska, there was a secondary quake. And it probably happens a lot more often than that. It's just not something that's normally being looked for. But, you know, it is very unusual. You know, we're seeing just all of this, you know, these giant rafts of stone. And at that scale, you know, they're not absolutely rigid. You know, the subduction zones are bending and everything. And so the Earth seems to be going through some major changes here. And we don't really have much of anything that we can do about it. You know, any more than we can stop climate change, to be absolutely real about it. And we're going to talk a little bit about that before much longer. But before that, I wanted to get into this story because this is a problem that we've been seeing with all of these wars the U.S. government is starting, where they'll go in and they'll invade someplace and they'll say, oh, we're going to teach these people how to nation build and handle their own security. And they start training the locals. And the locals will get that training at U.S. taxpayer expense, and then they'll basically take their weapons and everything, and they'll go over to the other side. And so one of the reasons the U.S. is having so much difficulty in Iraq and Afghanistan is because they're fighting soldiers trained in American methods. They know what to expect. They know what the U.S. is going to do. They know what the U.S. soldiers are trained to do and can accommodate that in their planning. And we've got yet another scandal where, you know, for all these people saying the surge is working and we've got all of this good stuff going on, the reality is that we're training their soldiers and they're going over to the other side. They may be planning that right from the very beginning. Hi, I want to join the freedom fighters. How do I get my training? Well, you pretend to join with the American oppressors. Let them spend all the money to train you and get all the equipment and guns you can. Then you just split, come back on over here, and we'll put you to work. Now, in the latest scandal where we've got all these Afghanis working for the Afghan security forces, they're now switching sides and defecting to the Taliban. They want to become the freedom fighters now. And it turns out they're being trained by Blackwater, which obviously is not instilling much of a sense of loyalty in them. And more to the point, this means the training that they are getting is costing the American taxpayers huge amounts of money because Blackwater charges a lot more to train the Afghanis than our own military would. It's a Charlie Foxtrot, plain and simple. All right, we're coming down to the end of the show here, and nobody's on the phone lines right now. 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933. No more calls about Deborah Medina. I am tired of talking about her. Okay, now Al Gore is finally surfacing. After the whole ClimateGate embarrassment and the collapse of Copenhagen, he is coming out, he's trying to rebrand and reposition, and he's setting up all these little honorarium things to try and polish his image, and he's being given an honorary doctoral degree from one of the universities in his home state. And this is just, it's a pretty printed piece of paper, and it's designed to obfuscate the fact that Al Gore has no science training at all. When he was going through school, he took the minimum required science courses and he got C's and D's in those. He's not a trained scientist, but they're going to give him an honorary doctorate in recognition of his credible achievements in global warming and blah, blah, blah. And it sort of underscores, when you look at his Academy Award for a documentary that the British courts have ruled is full of lies, and his Nobel Peace Prize, also based on the fraud of human-caused global warming, along with IPCC, you begin to understand something that is very true about our society. All of these awards and accolades and honors do not go to the people who really deserve them. They are decorations put on the operatives and propagandists of the government or governments for services rendered in order to give them an aura of respectability, even as they continue to lie to you. You can't doubt Al Gore on global warming. He's got a Nobel Peace Prize. He has an Academy Award. He has an honorary PhD, which stands for Piled Higher and Deeper. And you go back and you look at some of the people who've gotten these very prestigious awards, and you begin to realize they're not nice people. Henry Kissinger got a Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, that tells you right there. These are not awards that reward merit and working for the people. These are prizes given out to grant an aura of gravitas or respectability or untouchability to whoever they're given to. It's like any other tin pot dictatorship, and you see the photo of His Most Excellent Highness the Leader, and there's all these little medals and things all over his chest, most of which are created specifically to hang on the leader's chest. They're awards and honors that are created for the leaders to decorate themselves with, so that the common people will look at all the medals and say, wow, he's really done something, hasn't he? But it's not always something that's necessarily good. So Al Gore got his honorary doctorate, and no doubt we're going to be hearing about that, because they're going to come back in summer, and they're going to resell. They're going to try and resell and rebrand the global carbon tax. Al wants to be that carbon billionaire, and he doesn't care how many people he's got to tax into homelessness to get it. So they're going to come back, and Al Gore is surfacing, and they're trying to basically figure out some way they can come back from the scandals and resell it. Now, we have more scientists coming out and saying the research on the Alaskan glaciers, and they were saying, oh, my goodness, they're losing all this ice. Well, turns out that one was wrong. They're going back and looking at that and saying, well, we kind of overestimated that. It's not quite the problem we were all screaming it was. Okay, when we come back, we're going to be getting into a concept called post-normal science. You're not going to believe this one. This is legit. They're going to really try and put this one over on you. We'll be right back.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Psychologists often point to this series of experiments done by a gentleman, if I recall correctly, his name was Milgram, and you've probably seen it on TV when they talk about why it is that subordinates will very often just seem to go along with the wishes of their leaders, even when what their leaders are asking for are very bad and terrible things. And it was a classic experiment where this guy was brought into a room with a control panel and told that when the test subject answered a question incorrectly, he was to deliver an electrical shock. And what the guy with his finger on the shock button didn't realize was that he was the test subject. And the guy in the booth pretending to be the subject was not really getting any shocks. He'd just see a light flash and he'd yell and scream and say, you know, oh my goodness, that hurts. And the guy delivering the shocks, you know, what they were doing was, how far would he go, how high would he turn the voltage, as long as there was a figure of authority in the room, in this case pretending to be the doctor, saying, you've got to do as I tell you, just turn up the voltage, I am responsible, you are not responsible, the blame is on me, please turn the switch and push the button, and see how long they would go with it. And sadly, a rather large number of people just kept on cranking up the voltage until it reached what would have been lethal levels. So with that in mind, there's a story linked to whatreallyhappened.com called Warming Fraud, Hidden Secret. Please go to the website because you really want to read the whole thing all the way through in detail. Because what is emerging here is kind of a Milgram experiment within the global warming community. Because it seems that there's this concept called post-normal science, and it's not a joke. It is a real term created and promoted by some of the key players in the global warming hoax, if you will. Mike Hulme, who was professor of climate change at the University of East Anglia, where all these letters and computer codes came out. Jerry Ravitz of Oxford University, various people like that. And what it is, post-normal science is a philosophical concept that says it's okay to abandon traditional scientific values of accuracy and honesty in order to serve the greater good. In other words, they're justifying with a formal term and statement of philosophical intent that as long as they truly believe global warming is a threat to the public, they're justified in skewing the science in order to create that perception. Now, you and I all know it's USDA choice bovine excrement. They're justifying the perpetuation of a fraud on the people of the world. The whole point of science is that the facts drive the agenda, not the other way around. This is an attempt to justify by saying this is a real term and a real philosophy that it's okay for the agenda to drive the science. You need to go to the website and read this all the way through. It will absolutely floor you what an incredibly gross self-deception these people have all signed on to. And I have no doubt that they have managed to convince themselves that, yes, because they're serving the greater good, it's okay to do. Remember when we got the former head of Greenpeace on video admitting that they just made up all this nonsense about Greenland losing its entire ice cap in 20 years? That's a lot of ice. You couldn't get rid of all that much ice with 20 years of atomic weapons going off there. And the guy from Greenpeace said, we made it up because we have to scare people into going along with the agenda. And they've convinced themselves that this is a proper application of post, you know, whatever the science that they're calling. It's justifying lying to the public to serve an agenda. And they've all got financial interest in with the thing here. All righty, let's see. We're going to go back to the phones for the end of the show. Stoney in Minnesota. Aloha, Stoney. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I wasn't going to call you tonight, but I saw this SEC says psychic scammed investors.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Well, as an astrologer, I won't even go into that one because I'm
Please
not
don't.
Even a psychic. But
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, I could feel that. I could feel that coming on. But I think what I want to get back into.
Wait a minute. I've got a premonition coming. I predict you'll become rich and famous or not. Okay, and
not.
You're fine. How am I?
Sweatshop psychics are not doing too well.
Okay.
And that is really the going game right now. I worked as a sweatshop psychic for a very short period of time. And when I wasn't keeping the quota up and getting the calls and keeping people on long enough, then I was fired. But that's because they are paying you 30 cents a minute. But let's get back to this. You know, last night you talked about the allegory of the cave.
Yes.
And this is what I'm looking at here. First of all, what is the logical question? Federal regulators filed suit against a self-proclaimed psychic. What? What federal regulator does that?
Well, they didn't file against the guy for being a psychic. And by the way, he had no idea this was going to happen, I might add. The idea was that he had lost vast amounts of his investors' money and had basically misrepresented to them, you know, what he was able to do. And that's the reason he came under prosecution. They're not prosecuting him for claiming to be a psychic. In fact, there is a broker in New York. I forget her name. She claims to make her picks psychically, but she makes money for her clients, and so nobody's going to arrest her.
You know Reagan did this, and you know.
Yeah, they had psychics in the White House and everything, and that's they didn't arrest this guy for being a psychic or saying that he's a psychic. They arrested him because he lost a lot of his investors' money under false pretenses, and that was the real situation.
This is the prediction that I make.
Yeah.
Okay. The Geiger counter here is going to kind of like fishtail all over the internet when we start getting into astroadvice.com and all that sort of thing. All these people that are out there making a buck, and I'm not saying they're all psychics. There's a lot of college students out there making a buck, telling people whatever they want to tell them.
Yeah.
$1.50 a minute. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I understand how that stuff works, and
it's just another one of those scams, but. No, I'm not into this sort of thing, but I'm glad that you posted this. I'm really glad that you posted this.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. And on a more serious note, longtime listeners know that I paid for my college education as a professional magician. I was a member of the Magic Castle. I even worked one summer on a Mississippi riverboat. I did all the Southern California amusement parks, and I had a lot of fun. I really did. I had a lot of fun. For about 6 months, I decided to do a mentalist act. Okay, now I don't make any claims of psychic abilities or anything. It's a magic. It's just another kind of magic show. And I discovered a couple of things. First of all, you know, when you're a regular magician with the rabbit and the hat and everything, the audience is there. They're kind of looking to see you make a mistake. But when you claim to be doing psychic stuff like Uri Geller, the audience, they so want to believe that you can get away with stuff before that audience that you would never even dare risk doing before a normal, if you'll pardon the expression, magician's audience. And at the end of that 6 month time, I had some very strange people following me around from show to show to show. And at that point, I got a little bit scared. And I got a firsthand lesson about how people like Jim Jones are able to do what they're able to do. And it's a very dark side of the American psyche, the human psyche. Not the American psyche, the human psyche, that there are large portions of the population who need to have that kind of a figure that they can look up to and worship. And it's a little scary. It is very, very scary. And it's also, in a way, it's a little, I think, demeaning of the human condition. So I quit doing that kind of magic, and I basically said, go away. I can't connect with your lost uncle and tell you where the gold is buried or anything like that. But it was a little bit unnerving for a while there. Now, getting back to the situation about, there's the music. I guess we're out of time, and I knew that was going to happen. All right, we're going to stop the show. We're going to be back tomorrow night, Friday night, end of the week, Pal Hana Friday at 5 p.m. Central here on the Genesis Communication Network. Do me a favor, please, and tell all your friends about the show and the website. Help us go viral. We need to start building our audience. Now that we've got the new server tuned in, we've got room for more people to come in and see what's going on with the world. So please take a moment on your social networks. Spread the word about the radio show and the website. Thank you very much in advance. I add 5 years to your lifespan. I'm allowed to do that because... I'm just joking about that. So until tomorrow, stay safe, stay skeptical, get angry, and aloha, America.